Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Yes, it's the last day of September 2005, the 30th day of September 2005, and we're here still and growing still, looking for big things and better things. Understand that the people were listening to the signal yesterday all the way up to Cherokee, or pretty close to Cherokee, on I-85, and our coverage stops pretty much down towards the Anderson County line, a little further than that, maybe around Piedmont, something like that, where our other sites are. But look, folks, it's getting better all the time. This weekend, we're hoping to have a surge that puts us all the way down to the Georgia County line, and if it's not this weekend, it'll be Georgia State line. It'll be shortly thereafter. So good things in the works. Glad you joined us here this morning, and we're looking forward to another great show. But before we get started with that, we're going to have to check out the weather.
Okay, right now in Greenville's primary, 63 degrees, downtown 62, Anderson 64, also in Clemson 64. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Less humid with highs in the lower 70s and northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Well, if we look at Fox News, lots of things going on. Of course, in the sports world, we have the Atlanta Braves clinching for the 14th straight year. That happened a couple nights ago, actually. 14th straight division title. It's interesting to see how it's going to happen there. And the White Sox pulled it out. And the Yankees, believe it or not, are in first place, which for those of us who don't like the Yankees, that's a bad thing. As long as they get beat in the end, it doesn't really matter, because I don't particularly like Boston either. But, you know, any Yankees... Well, Yankees are always suspect, even by the name. It's a shame that they don't have that. They have that sort of etiquette attached to them. But at any rate, Angels have won. Well, we're just following baseball joyfully here because we like baseball. About three more days left of the season, and then the playoffs begin. Looking forward to going down to a playoff game in Atlanta. It's almost like you can count on it like clockwork, having a playoff game in Atlanta every year. And hopefully this year is not going to be any different. And I think they won't be the worst team in the division, I believe. And so they probably will be playing, I'm not sure who they're going to play yet. I guess we'll find out shortly. Well, what else is happening in the news of more consequence than sports? Well, new attacks followed a deadly day in Iraq. Sunni-led insurgents killed at least 5 people in a crowded market on Friday. The Muslim Day of Worship police said no new information also emerged about coordinated homicide and mortar attacks the day before. Another mostly Shiite city left nearly 100 people dead. Man, all the time. I'm telling you, it's a sad state of affairs in Iraq, with people dying every day, it seems. Thursday, 3 homicide attackers exploded near simultaneous car bombs in the heart of the bustling, mainly Shiite town of Balad, 50 miles north of the capital, killing at least 99 people and wounding 124, police and hospital officials said. Oh, man. The deadliest single attack in America against American troops in more than a month, bringing to 1,934 the number of U.S. service members who have died since Iraq's war started in March 2003, according to the Associated Press count. Until Thursday, the site of major U.S. military air base had seen few major attacks. Yes, we've got these huge bases over there, and we've got all these terrorists running around and people who don't like the United States coming in and liberating them, apparently. What a mess. What a total disaster. We need to pull out of this place. Then we got people like Tony Beam and his... I'm only picking on him by name, folks. I like Tony, okay? But I'm picking on him by name because he wrote the Times Examiner that anybody who is against the war in Iraq is anti-American and on the side of the terrorists. This is sort of unkind imbecility. I'm sorry, but this is just ridiculous. If anybody's anti-American, it would seem to me, well, I won't go that far. I'm not going to retaliate in kind here. Let's just say this. There's a lot of people who think that if you're opposed to the war in Iraq, a lot of neocons who believe that if you oppose the war in Iraq, that you are a liberal or anti-American or a terrorist. This is simply not true. Just because the far left and the far right agree on this particular point does not make us anti-American. It also does not follow suit that because we want to hold dear to the principles of the Constitution as a true right should, whether we be constitutionalist or pro-life libertarian or anybody else that is opposed to the war, because we want to uphold the principles of the Founding Fathers and dear to our hearts what the Constitution has established for America, that does not make us anti-American. What makes us anti-American is when we decide that America is no longer a constitutional republic. It's some sort of democracy that needs to spread like a plague into an empire and control the world. I'll tell you, that's the concern. That's the fear. And that is the problem. It's not people who want to get out of this stupid, insane war. What we need to do in Iraq is very simple. We need to pack up our bags, close up our bases, and leave. Now, there's no reason to stay there even for 5 minutes more. Just get out. Load the ships up and sail them back home. Load the planes up and fly them back home. Get away from there. Let the people handle themselves, the mess, and the cleanup. That's what we need to do. No more bills for bailout and increasing our national debt to increase their... forget all that stuff. They need to rebuild their infrastructure as they will. They need to control their own destiny over there, under the hand of God, of course. But they need to be the ones who decide what to do and what not to do in that country, not the United States of America going in there as a state and just lording it over these people. It's causing total mayhem, chaos every day. There's more deaths and more hassles. Deadly, deadly stuff. Well, anyway, I noticed that the Minutemen are also in the news again today. Fox News reports that Minutemen to hold October vigil along the Canadian border. So it's a little bit safer maybe up there in Canada. A little bit, going to be cold. Not going to be up there too long, I wouldn't think. Patriots to some and hate groups to others, the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps is launching a month-long vigil along America's northern border this weekend, expanding its operations to demand heightened security at U.S. borders. The Minutemen gained national attention in April when they monitored a 23-mile stretch of the Arizona border, armed with binocular cell phones and, in some cases, sidearms. The volunteers tipped off Border Patrol agents about illegal immigrants crossing into the United States. According to the group's count, the watch resulted in more than 300 arrests of undocumented immigrants, which, of course, doesn't amount to a hill of beans since there's just so many more who cross. But at any rate, with well over 1 million versus about 12,000 annually, the number of arrests in the southwest border dwarfs those in the north. Minutemen members say the Canadian border, which at 5,525 miles is almost three times the length of the Mexican border, is vulnerable to terrorists and criminals. Yeah, well, you know, okay. I don't have any problem with people patrolling the border, especially not Minutemen. You got to be kidding if you think that you're going to control that kind of border by the patrol. That's going to prevent absolutely somebody who's planning a terrorist attack from coming in. I'm just thinking of the logistics of this. Let's say that you really know how to plan an attack like 9/11 or something. You're that sophisticated. You've got that much equipment, resources, and so forth. You're trying to tell me that a bunch of civilians monitoring the border are going to be able to catch you crossing it. I don't think so. I mean, they're going to wait for the opportune time. They're going to cross at different locations. They're going to have a backup plan to make sure that if one group gets caught, then the other one won't. They're going to have decoys going across the border to draw away people's attention. I mean, it's a nice try, but if these people really want to get across the border from Canada and they're able to get into Canada successfully, whether they land, you know, amphibiously and, you know, up in Baffin Island and come down the Hudson, I don't know. Hudson Bay, I'm talking about. Yeah, they're probably going to be able to cross the border. Most of the people they're going to stop are not going to be terrorists who are just walking around, you know, amicably and can be found out. It's probably not going to happen that way. I'm just saying logistically, it just doesn't make sense that these guys are actually going to be able to do anything. But I'm not against them trying. I'm just saying I just have some grave doubts as the effectiveness of all this kind of stuff. Not against it. Just saying I'm not. Not sure it's going to be effective. Will it be more effective than the state doing it? Yeah, I think so. Because I don't think states have much incentive to really, truly stop this kind of stuff. States thrive on terror. And why should people want, like, you know, the cop, like cops say, why do they want to eliminate crime? Eliminating crime means eliminating their job. They want to control crime. They want to be able to hold up trophies every now and then, but they're not interested in absolutely eliminating crime. It'd be counterproductive for their own jobs. Well, speaking of cops, let's move on to another Fox story that's out today. New Orleans police investigate whether officers looted. The police department said Thursday it is investigating about a dozen officers are suspected of looting during the lawlessness that engulfed the city after Hurricane Katrina. The news reports in the aftermath of the storm put officers at the scene of some of the heaviest looting in the Walmart at the Walmart in the Lower Garden District. Some witnesses, including a Times-Picayune reporter, said police were taking items from shelves. Out of 1,750 officers, we're looking into the possibility that maybe 12 officers were involved in misconduct, police spokesman Marlon DeFilo said. He rejected the use of the term looting and said authorities were investigating the possibility of appropriation of non-essential items during the height of Katrina from businesses. Okay. Yeah, I guess when government takes something from you, somebody in authority, you can't call it looting or plunder or extortion, even though that's what it is, and that's what it would be called if somebody else did it. We just call it the appropriation of non-essential items. Yeah, the appropriation of something. What a joke. Yeah, there were looters down there. Why wouldn't there be? Where these people are made of the same thing that other human beings are, and a certain percentage of population is going to be criminal, and why wouldn't those same percentage of population of criminals be in the police force? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, they wouldn't be. So, no surprise here. Probably were some bad cops who were doing some bad things and ripping people off. Of course, they're probably figuring, too, that, you know, those businesses are insured, and they're going to get every penny back and more. All that inventory is not going to be used again. It's all been flooded out, and they're just going to, you know, throw it away and start from scratch with brand new stuff. Maybe they figure there's all sorts of reasons to, you know, like that to justify, for the end to justify the means, or for the circumstances to justify the means. Anyway, that's your national headlines for the morning. Not that it's too encouraging or exciting, but there it be. Well, this Saturday, you're invited to attend a workshop which is hosted by Mr. Ed Waller. That's tomorrow. It's on Peter Hendrickson's book called Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America. On Saturday, October 1st, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Mills River Community Center near Asheville Airport, North Carolina. The cost for the workshop is $75 per person, $125 per couple prepaid, or $100 at the door. And unless you get it in real fast, you're going to be paying $100 at the door. It sounds like a very interesting seminar. The Internal Revenue Code is written to be lawful. Ordinary words are redefined to have special meanings and leads one to believe it applies to him. Come and learn the truth. Of course, he's been getting involved with two court cases, this Peter Hendrickson, and both times has had charges dismissed against him before he even went to trial, as he threatened to bring up what is revealed in this book. So it should be an interesting seminar. For more information, you can email Ed Waller at ctcwarriors@bellsouth.net. That's ctcwarriors@bellsouth.net. You can also phone him at 828-684-3365. That's 828-684-3365. That's not the only event we've got going on this week. Remember this. Remember, tomorrow also we have the meeting of the Carolina Patriots. Carolina Patriots meeting at the Prime Sirloin, which is on Woodruff Road in Greenville, right across from the Greenville Mall. It starts at 12:30 lunch and 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you can't make it up to Ed Waller's meeting about Peter Hendrickson's book. You'll be able to come to the Carolina Patriots meeting in the afternoon. Hope to see you there. Should be an interesting time. Usually is. And as always, remember to check out tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. That's where you'll find information about all of the meetings in the upstate. The calendar of events is under the events tab. And hopefully Rip and Richie will be back shortly to put up the October calendar, as the September one is now exhausted. Richie, if you're listening, take and put it in your day timer today to do so. And we're going to take a quick break here of Christian Worldview, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us today and want to remind you about a couple of quick events. First of all, there's the Libertarian Party. Forgot to mention them yesterday, so I want to make sure we do them early today. If you're tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions, try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Remember also the Spartanburg Libertarian Party has a couple of meetings as well. The October business meeting, it will come up on Tuesday, October 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the West Side branch of the Spartanburg County Library. That it will be, I think it's the third Tuesday of the month. Correct me if I'm wrong. Liberty Aplenty is their informal meeting beginning on Tuesday, October 4th. That's just coming up next week at 6:30 p.m. See if you can join them up there at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. They'll be holding a Liberty Aplenty meeting starting at 6:30 p.m. So, at any rate, remember to check out tyrannyresponse.com, tyrannyresponse.net. Most of the stuff we mention on the air here, the announcements and so forth for the political parties, political events, or related media like the Times Examiner, which we'll talk about sometime in the show today, all of that information is right there online for you at tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. The directions, addresses, and so forth are all there. Be sure also, if you can, to make a donation to TRN sometime this month or this week. Well, that's the end of the month. How about in October? And think about possibly what you could do to help support the Tyranny Response Network. Remember, we're a volunteer network, folks. No one gets paid in our staff. We all volunteer our time in our great cause and quest for liberty and for spreading of the truth. And so, therefore, we always require volunteers, people with technical know-how about radios, about computer networking. Also, people who are interested in even spending a couple hours a month producing things like the Christian Worldview Show. So if you're interested at all in helping the Tyranny Response Network, we'd be glad to hear from you. Go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and click on the Contacts tab, and under the Contacts tab, email anybody you see there and let them know you're interested, and we'll take it from there. We'll get in touch. Okay, well, yesterday we had James, who up in Spartanburg, give me a call and talk about some interesting things with regard to the Chinese yuan. I think we were thinking he was saying yen yesterday on the air, and we were misunderstanding James when he was speaking. The Chinese yuan was reported as being a problem in the Philadelphia Trumpeter. I believe that's the name of this thing. And yesterday received a fax about this from the Philadelphia Trumpeter. And I'd not actually ever seen this, or from the Philadelphia Trumpet, from a September-October 2005 edition. Anyway, I've got a copy of the article that was in the Philadelphia Trumpeter that he was referring to. And here's what it says. It says, in July, China abandoned its peg to the U.S. dollar, which theoretically should help American exports, but are American interests actually in danger? China has kept its currency, the yuan, pegged to the U.S. dollar for over a decade at around 8.28 yuan to the dollar. While America's trade deficit has burgeoned and the dollar declined, the U.S. long asserted that China's fixed exchange rate policy undermined American manufacturer. The theory was that if allowed to float freely in the marketplace, the yuan would be substantially stronger against the dollar, thus making China's exports relatively more expensive. In turn, U.S. consumers would be less likely to buy Chinese products, and U.S. manufacturers would be more likely to sell their own. Hence, the trade deficit would improve. The U.S. trade deficit with China is larger than its deficit with all of Europe. It is larger than its deficit with Canada and Mexico combined. That's brought up as somehow being a worry. I don't know why. I'm just going to interject here, especially with the number of people in China and the fact that China has things that we're interested in buying in greater quantities. So I don't think economically that's necessarily should be shocking to us. What do we buy from Mexico, for instance? Or, fruits and maybe. There's not a whole lot that we buy from Mexico that we see on a daily basis compared to other countries. And here with Europe, the same thing. We buy very, very high-tech goods from Europe, Lamborghinis and BMWs and some equipment and things. But you're not getting textiles from there and things that we use on a daily basis that are consumer goods are largely coming out of developing countries. So this shouldn't surprise us. But anyway, in a report to Congress on May 17th, the Treasury Department warned that China and its currency policies were distorting world trade, and it brandished the threat of retaliation against the country's exports, that means tariffs, if Chinese leaders did not change the course in the next year. That's what the New York Times reported on May 17th. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan told the Senate Budget Committee in April that China's peg was beginning to have a detrimental effect on the Chinese economy. On July 21st, China abandoned its peg to the dollar and announced that a new rate initially would be 8.11 yuan to the dollar, a change of only 2.1%, well short of the significant adjustment that Washington was hoping for. Economists estimate that yuan is undervalued by anywhere from 10 to 40%. However, by abandoning its peg to the dollar, China allows itself the flexibility of further revisions as it deems appropriate. Okay, well, who's gonna be the one who suffers here with this? The people that really suffer the most whenever you have an artificial currency peg are the Chinese. It's not going to be Americans that are going to suffer here. What the worry is that by having the prices artificially low, the Chinese are going to suffer because wages are low there, and they're going to be able to produce goods cheaper in a sense for that in terms of dollars, and we'll be able to buy more, and that's going to hurt American manufacturers. Well, the idea that American manufacturers are the target actually here is a little bit crazy, because why or how for how long, at any rate, would a country tolerate operating at losses and taking it literally in the chin just for the glee of being able to attack an American manufacturer? This is a whole theory of kind of like predatory pricing in economics. It doesn't last for very long. Even if people try it temporarily, it doesn't last for long, because people get tired of going to work and having to pay to go to work effectively by having operating losses that are continuous. And I'm speaking of the capitalists, obviously, not the day job, kind of the day workers. So this is not a great worry as far as I'm concerned economically. I'm not sure why, other than liberal press, why would anybody would worry that it would be. But I'd be happy to hear from others who have a different opinion about this. And reading through here, I think, as much as I don't agree with most of what Alan Greenspan does, being in charge of the fraudulent reserve system, I'll have to say this, that it's, it seems right to me, his comments, that China is hurting itself and has been by doing this. American, what competitors do we have with China? Well, not a whole lot of people doing the same kind of stuff. That's why we get it all from over there, textiles, shoes, or whatever it may be. Does it hurt our exports to China? Well, possibly, but we got to remember, folks, like the story Walter Williams said the other day, just because Walter goes and buys his groceries at the local Bilo, for instance, doesn't mean that he expects to have somebody from Bilo come and buy an equal amount of goods and services from him. Because Walter Williams provides very high-level, sophisticated, service-oriented products, including he writing newspaper columns, giving lectures, and writing research reports. Well, people that run Bilo may not have any need for those things, and maybe they can't even afford it, even if they wanted it. And so it's very unlikely that there's going to be trade between them that's equalized. And this is the whole problem with the trade deficit theory between any particular individual country, at least. Well, what in China? What would the Chinese want that we produce, or could we afford? Well, there's some people who can't afford the accounting services, the computer technology, the other things that American firms produce, but they're few and far between relative to the population. And what does there that we want that Chinese have? Boatloads of stuff, all sorts of textiles. We talked about shoes a minute ago, toys, trinkets, all sorts of things people want. That's why there's a trade deficit with China. It makes perfect sense. It should not shock us that this is the case, and it should not bother us that there's a deficit, because they have different needs than we do. They have different ability to acquire those things because of their wage level than we do here in America, and so there's going to be a diversity. There's going to be a difference. There's going to be a deficit, as you will. So that's, you know, my initial response to that, James. I don't worry too much about this kind of stuff. It's just a bunch of hype, frankly, that certain people bring up to, I don't know, fill the airwaves with soft economics or armchair economics that doesn't make a lot of sense theoretically. And so I'm not going to get up in arms about it. I'm just not too concerned about the whole thing. Well, let me give a couple plugs here for some friends and people, friends of TRN and people that are doing certain things in the upstate. One is the Worldviews Project. Dr. Stephen Yates has published a new book called Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. And he's charging $18.99 for this book. It's a discounted price to anybody in the Constitution Party. Let him know that you're part of that, and you'll get that price, plus $2.50 shipping and handling. Since he's a libertarian, a pro-life libertarian, I suppose that if you write that you're a libertarian on there, he'll also give you the discount. And just send him the money and we'll find out. I feel like he can always bill you for the other $2. If not, that's a $2 discount off the main cover price of $20.99. You can send all your orders to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, at 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216. That's 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Once again, that's the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Stephen Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Well, we have a number of exciting stories coming up for you in the next half hour. We have, in fact, several things that we'll be discussing, including my trip last night, my attendance, I should say, last night at the Bob Jones University to hear Billy Wilkins, the chief judge of the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. This was supposed to be, slated as being an exciting opportunity, an exciting conference and so forth. And unfortunately, I was very, very underwhelmed by the whole thing. We'll talk about that when we get back. Also, one of the research staff brought up to me a quick thing. He said that the Francis Wayland Institute about Christianity, Liberty, and Property and Peace has been established. I never even heard of the thing. Francis Wayland Institute. It's in Pensacola, Florida. Somebody thought I should announce to folks out there know something about it, and I would like to hear something about it if you know about the organization, some more about it. But here's what it says for their blurb. The Francis Wayland Institute exists for the purpose of propagating and defending the ideals of Christianity, liberty, property, and peace. It is not a Bible institute, and neither is it a college, seminary, correspondence school, or school of any kind. The Francis Wayland Institute is a think tank in the intellectual tradition of the 19th century Baptist minister Francis Wayland. The Institute is dedicated to making books and articles to uphold the ideals of Christianity, liberty, property, and peace. The director of the Institute is Lawrence M. Vance. His book, Christianity and the War Against and War and Other Essays Against the Warfare State, can be ordered online. Well, interesting stuff. I'm going to maybe send him an email there, since we are a lot of those things, in fact, all of those things which they mentioned there, in favor of Christianity, liberty, and peace, and we like the public policy think tank idea. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back shortly.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Got several good things going on this half hour. We're going to talk about some stuff from Gary North, as well as the comments from Chief Judge of the Appellate Court, Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, Billy Wilkins' speech last night and Bob Jones. But before we do that, we need to check out the weather. So let's have a quick look at the weather, and we'll be right back.
Right now in Greenville's primary, 63 degrees, downtown 62, Anderson 64, Austin Road Clubs in 64. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Less humid with highs in the lower 70s, and northeast winds are on 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Okay, very good. Well, last night, Bob Jones University held a meeting with a particular chief judge of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that was from South Carolina, rose to prominence here as a district court judge, and then went to a sentencing division of the Justice Department, and then finally was appointed to the federal bench as an appellate court judge, and rose to be the chief judge of that court, named Billy Wilkins. He was giving a speech on what do judges do, and one of his colleagues there, Trexel, I believe the guy's name was, another judge on the court. He had a good joke. He said something about the guy was appointed as a district court judge by George Bush the First, the elder, and then appointed as appellate court judge by Bill Clinton. And some people wonder how that could possibly be. He said, "Well, he's like a hitchhiker in a bad part of town. He holds out his thumbs both directions, and he's willing to go either way." And I don't know. I guess he likes criticizing his fellow colleague, and perhaps that wasn't a criticism as far as he's concerned. Because as a matter of fact, neocons do like to have things go both ways. They like to praise Ronald Reagan and Thomas Jefferson, and still praise Abraham Lincoln and Franklin Roosevelt. And that's precisely what he did last night. He made a big speech at the end just about lawyers. How wonderful lawyers have been, like James Madison, Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, people who studied the law, John Marshall, and then he included in his list Abraham Lincoln and Franklin Roosevelt as examples of wonderful, wonderful lawyers who've done great things. You know, this kind, and my wife nudged me and said, why doesn't he include Bill Clinton and Hillary in there too? They were both lawyers. Of course, Bill and Hillary Clinton were lightweights compared to Lincoln and FDR, at least, as far as we can tell. His wife still has her chance as she gets into office next time. But beyond that, I'll tell you what, this guy was really a sad case. Sad for many ways, but one of which was he really did not have a firm grasp on what America is all about. He had tremendous applause from the audience. He read a little standing. It was a standing ovation. Probably people following in lockstep. It seems the way things go sometimes at Bob Jones University. Everybody stands up. Everybody applauds. Everybody just you know. It's just everybody follows suit with whatever everybody else does. And why? Because he read a little poem at the end talking about how judges should pray. Well, you know, he didn't really say a whole lot during his 20 or 30 minute speech, and frankly, I was, my eye was pretty underwhelmed. I think my wife was too, with his whole meeting. He essentially said that what judges do is not try to interpret do anything more than interpret the Constitution. They don't legislate anything. They simply do justice either. They simply do what they're called to do, which is to interpret the rules and make sure the rule of law is held up. He says he doesn't try to do anything about the chaos around him, outside him, but like a painter, he tries to bring order to the canvas that is before him as a judge. So he made it very clear that he was not attempting in any way as a judge, and judges should not attempt to legislate morality, become part of the legislative or executive branches, but should continue to merely uphold the constitutional premises as mandated for them, and not try to go beyond their bounds. Well, all that sounds fine and dandy, except that was as deep as he got, and probably as constitutional as he got. It doesn't sound like he's interested in a dynamic or living constitution, which is a good point for him, but his other comments really made you wonder where this guy was coming from. He continually talked about the great democracy that the Founding Fathers had given us. He misquoted several times a few of the Founding Fathers, and I really wonder how somebody could study the Constitution and think about this great nation and still say that we live in a democracy. They did not want us to live in a democracy. We are living in a constitutional republic, which is a very different thing. And if this federal judge didn't even know that, apparently he did that, or he slipped up several times during his speech and made this democracy kind of comment. He sounded very neoconish when he was discussing the different issues, and I came away thinking, well, that's just another neocon. And, you know, unfortunately and sadly, the Bob Jones crowd, including Mr. Stephen Jones and the others there, just seemed to be delighted with this fellow. I wasn't, but that's just my opinion. You know, and maybe if I heard him on another occasion, I'd change my mind, my perspective on this judge, but it seems like he was pandering to his audience a little bit and simply was a person who got to political office by being the way most people are who get to high office, shifty, at the same time accepting of various doctrines that are popular with the day to make himself popular and rise and shine in his position. And he's continuing to do that, probably eyeing the Supreme Court of the United States at some point. So anyway, that was the result of that meeting. Lackluster kind of meeting, and only lasted 45 minutes from start to finish, including all the introductions and praises and accolades and everything else. So that was that meeting. Wasn't really worth going to that much. But glad that I did, and glad that I could give you a small report. If you have any question or comment about the meeting, we'd be happy to hear from you at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Well, on a more deep thought, Gary North, one of our favorite Christian Reconstructionists, who is living somewhere in the South now, writes an article on LouRockwell.com called Rothbard's Defense of Contractual Limited Liability. And he says, one of the advantages of reading either Mises or Rothbard is that each man represents his case for liberty axiomatically. Each begins with a few premises and thereby develops an entire system of social thought from these premises. And that's a good thing to do. I'm going to interject there. If you're developing, like we try to do here at Christian Worldview, a cogent theory of public policy, or a theology, I should say, of public policy, you can do so by simply asserting several premises, one of which would be Christians have a right of self-defense against criminals. And from those premises, you can build an entire system or theology based on the scriptures. I'm not saying that you take your system and thrust it onto the Bible. I'm saying that you can look at the Bible, which is a logical document, and see what God has presented for us. And you can say, if the right of self-defense is justified, then what follows from that? If A, then B, then C, and D. And you go like that in creating your understanding or your theology of public policy in a systematic way. Now, all along the way, you have the constant check of the scriptures to make sure that the Bible validates what you're saying, because there isn't any single passage in the Bible that lays out so nicely, like, for instance, on the doctrine of justification by faith, Romans chapter 3 through Romans chapter 5, especially the doctrine of justification. We don't have that about public policy in the scripture. You actually have to pull from places like the Psalms and Proverbs, Revelation, as well as, you know, Romans 13, Matthew 17, Luke 19, right, 1 Peter 2, many different places to try to piece together what God's thoughts are on public policy theology. And in doing so, we remember God is logical, and so we start with a premise and we follow through, and we end up with a great result. And so I appreciate what Gary North is saying here about Rothbard's and Mises' defense of their economic systems being axiomatic. He says Mises begins with the axiom of action, and that men choose, and Rothbard begins with self-ownership. He says, as much as I appreciate Mises, I believe Rothbard begins where all economic reasoning should begin, the question of ownership. He says, I agree with Tom Bethel's observation in his book, The Noblest Triumph. Adam Smith made a strategic intellectual error when he began with the division of labor rather than the central issue of private property. This error set back the intellectual case for free markets by almost two centuries. And he says, I began my 1987 book, Inherit the Earth, with a chapter on ownership. My debate with Rothbard begins here. I see God as the original owner, with the property being delegated to man, and so would we. We'd agree with Gary North on this, not with Rothbard. We both agree that ownership is a central issue, so when I come to the debate over this or that policy issue regarding economics, I always begin here. Who is the owner? Similarly, when I come to a judicial issue involving conflict, I ask, who is the victim? The underlying principle of biblical justice is this, victim's rights. And he says, I wrote a book with this title. He talks about the right to contract. It's a good article, and as well as limited liability, and on down with a few other pieces of fine expose on strict liability in churches and so forth. But the whole issue of ownership is fundamental for us. It's not only a fundamental right to property, but who owns something is a key thing in our lifestyles and in our lives that Christians need to be aware of. And we need to support things in our analysis that underscore the whole the whole ideal of ownership. Not only ownership of our bodies, ownership of our labor, but ownership of the property that God has entrusted us with as stewards. So, having said that, I just wanted to bring that up for us a little bit deep, I know, but sometimes we like to go there on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and that's what you're listening to, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Okay, now we'll welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. A couple other quick announcements for us, and that is one thing we always want to tell you about, the Times Examiner. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State is the Times Examiner. You can get a subscription for only $25 a year in-state and $27 a year out-of-state. You can call 864-268-0576, 864-268-0576 to have it sent to your door every week. And remember, page 10 is where you'll find yours truly's column, a regular columnist every week in the Times Examiner, and you'll be able to read about great themes about public policy theology, public policy generally as far as homeschooling, public schooling, environmentalism, marriage covenants, and Social Security privatization, many other things related to those issues or issues like that. The Times Examiner in general supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. So we hope you'll pick up a copy today, and if you need to place an ad for your business, the Times Examiner would sure appreciate it. You can give David a call directly and ask for him by name at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Give them a call today and set up an ad, because the Times Examiner is a great paper and worthy of your support and helpful and promoting your business. I found out that information about the Times Examiner, by the way, on the related media tab on tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. If you scroll down below that on the related media tab, you'll find a number of other great links. Just look at some of the links we have here, including the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, Libertarians for Life, the Christian Exodus Movement, the Political Cesspool, the Patriot Network, StopTax.org, Libertarian Christians, Grassroots Gun Rights, Foundation for Economic Education, LouRockwell.com, John Weaver DVDs and CDs, the Southern Party of South Carolina, Sons of Confederate Veteran, the Southern View of History, and the League of the South. All of those are right there on that related media tab. At the very bottom, there's a petition we want to always emphasize, and that's the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to Save Your Private Property. If you simply go to that link and click on it, you'll be able to sign a petition which helps proclaim the necessity of, to the politicians of this state, at any rate, the necessity of having private property and preserving fundamental rights. So go there if you can and sign the petition. It'll only take 30 seconds to do so, and we hope that many of you will find a few, like I said, 30 seconds or a minute to go there while you're checking out tyrannyresponse.net and tyrannyresponse.com today. Well, we have a couple other things going on here we need to announce, but we're going to do it later. Right now, we're going to go and read a little bit from Chuck Baldwin. Is it the Republican Party or just George W. Bush, writes Chuck Baldwin on September 30th. The Republican Party professes to stand for less government and more freedom. It claims to be a conservative party. However, ever since assuming control of the entire federal government, it has revealed itself to be something entirely different. For example, since the White House and both houses of Congress have been under Republican party domination, the federal government has increased federal expenditures and deficits to levels never seen before. Beyond that, individual liberties have come under a federal assault in ways that would make even old King George seem tame. President Bush seeks to federalize domestic emergencies by placing the Pentagon in charge. We've talked about that before, for one thing. Chuck Baldwin continues, the White House wants Congress to consider amending Posse Comitatus in order to grant the Pentagon greater powers. This is scary stuff, folks. We don't like this idea. It's an amazing power grab, and as Chuck Baldwin says, an unmitigated disaster for liberty if that would happen. He says military personnel are not trained and should not be for domestic law enforcement. The reason freedom has survived for more than 200 years of history is due to the American people's lawful access to firearms and to the preservation of our Republican form of government. He's right on this, and it's a scary thing to watch George W. Empire Building Bush go ahead and bring us one step closer to martial laws. He still attempts to eliminate more and more fundamental rights or even political rights from the American people and under the guise of being a do-gooder and trying to help. It's a sad state of affairs here, folks, and like one Southern Baptist pastor recently told me, he'd prefer Bill Clinton over George Bush just because Bush is a scary character that makes us afraid by all of what he's trying to do and what he has been doing to us, yet the evangelicals just file on in line right behind him as if he's somehow on their side doing his duty for them and doing a good job to help the Christian church. Give me a break. Where, when, how, why has George Bush done something good for the Christian church? Is abortion any less? Do churches have more rights than they had before? Are they not as much under attack? Did we not just have a hate speech bill that it's been tacked on as amendment to the Child Safety Act? There are things that are scary things going on beyond even the Patriot Act that George W. Bush is spearheading and willing to sign into the law as soon as he can convince people in Congress to follow after it. How about CAFTA? We've forgotten about that, and his next little boy that he's going to raise is the FTAA. These things are all George Bush-sponsored programs, and the Republican Congress goes right along with it. Sad. This is sad times, scary times in our history, folks. And Chuck Baldwin is absolutely right in pointing it out. Well, the Dutch are set to expand euthanasia guidelines, Toby Sterling writes. He says, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, the Dutch government intends to expand its current euthanasia policy, setting guidelines for when doctors may end the lives of terminally ill newborns with the parents' consent, the Associated Press has learned. A letter outlining the new directives was expected to be submitted to Parliament for a discussion by mid-October, but the new policy will not require a change in the law. It won't require a change in the law, it says. And that's interesting. Dutch Health Ministry spokesman Annette Dijkstra said Thursday, the new guidelines are likely to spark an outcry from the Vatican, Right to Life proponents, and some advocacy groups for the handicaps who abhor the current public policy that allows adult euthanasia if the patients request it and certain conditions are met. The governing conservative Christian Democrat Party, a majority of which fought for the legalization of euthanasia in 2001 when it was in the opposition, will embrace the guidelines drawn up last year by doctors at Groningen University Medical Center. The guidelines known as the Groningen Protocol prompted reactions from shock and outrage from the Vatican and from social conservatives and religious groups worldwide, but have received minimal coverage in the Dutch media. Under the protocol, euthanasia would be permissible when a child is terminally ill with no prospect of recovery, when it's suffering great pain, when two sets of doctors agree the situation is hopeless, and when parents give their consent. So there go the Dutch, off with something else that's evil. Here they say, cases of euthanasia for people with no free will, such as infants and severely demented or mentally retarded people, were left in a legal gray area by the law because they were so controversial. They remain classified as murder, and doctors who carried out such killings are required to report themselves to the authorities for potential prosecution. Government-sponsored studies in the 1990s and repeated in 2001 estimated there to be around 15 to 20 such infant killings in any year. Just 22 cases reported to the Justice Ministry between 1997 and 2004, most involving infants with severe damage to the brain and spine from spina bifida. The ministry decided against prosecuting any of the people. So, at any rate, these commissions were checking folks out. I skipped down a little bit in the article there. That's why it sounded a little disconnected and disjointed. But another sad thing to keep our eye on in the world, the Dutch. Yes, Europe. So should we have a lot of trade with Europe, I wonder? I guess we already do, but we certainly don't want to trade any of that stuff. Awful that that sort of thing goes on, that you actually have the taking of human life. Why do we oppose that as Christians? We oppose it because we believe God ordains all life. He ordains all things whatsoever come to pass. And if somebody is actually hurting or sick, he doesn't have the right to simply kill himself. Or we don't have the right to be merciful to him by killing him. This is not what God has ordained. God brings circumstances into our life of suffering and grief. And he does so because they sanctify us and they give us an opportunity to be more like Jesus. That's what we're after, folks. That's what our goal is in life, to be this way. And to say we can kill ourselves because we have a bad circumstance is simply a humanist worldview, a materialistic worldview, and not part of the Christian worldview. Well, we have a caller on the line. We want to jump to the phone call at this moment. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Welcome to the show. Who am I listening to?
This is Nick.
Hello, Nick. Haven't heard from you in a while, but certainly glad that you've called.
Well, I'm still getting you in my apartment here in Simpsonville, but I thought I'd see what you're talking about today and see what... Whether I might have a comment. Another thing, though, I did want to mention was that I had heard about the budget that they wanted to produce to give money to these people in the Katrina hurricane victims. You know, it appears to me like the Democrats have just finally come out and said something about, we want this money, and they gave so many absurd amounts of money for everything and anything you could think of, you know, and probably some you couldn't think of mostly. And, you know how that goes.
This is always the case with these statists. But listen to a couple questions. In fact, if you're willing to hold on during the break, we're going to a break in about 30 seconds. I'll fill you in during the break about what's gone on in the show so far. But just a question for you: have you tried to get 87.9 in Simpsonville? The reason I ask is the transmission out of Spartanburg actually has reached as far south as Lawrence, people driving down just about to Lawrence here. And yesterday, a caller called in to say that they were in Cherokee County listening to us. So if 97.7 isn't reaching you in Spartanburg, try Simpsonville, try 87.9 and see how that works for you. But let's, if you don't mind, let's hold on during the break here, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us. We still got Nick holding on the line, but before we get back to our call, we'll have a quick look at the weather, and we'll see what your day is going to be like for your day if you're still happen to be driving in the car.
Okay, well, right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 63 degrees, downtown 62, Anderson 64, Austin Clemson 64. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Less humid with highs in the lower 70s. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour.
And we do welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 30th day of September 2005. And Nick is still on the line with us. Nick, what's going on there? What would you like to talk about with respect to New Orleans?
Well, something in New Orleans that seems to be going on right now, or actually Louisiana, is that the governor, I believe, has proposed something like $200 or $250 billion, that's with a B, dollars worth of money that they want to appropriate from the government, from the federal, from us, you know, basically, to rebuild Louisiana, basically. I don't even think it would strictly be New Orleans. And anyhow, what that would boil down to, I think there's like 500,000 people in the New Orleans area, and so what that would amount to would be like, you know, $2.5 million per person, you know, which would be so absurd, when we don't even know really how many people will even return to that area. And besides that, of course, you know, why should we do something totally stupid? But that would not preclude that government wouldn't do something totally stupid. I mean, we don't have any evidence that they wouldn't do anything totally stupid. Matter of fact, we do have mostly evidence that they would do things that are totally stupid. Like, for instance, you know, Jim DeMint one time here, a while back, he was behind this deal about putting in a housing project by tearing down the old housing project, first of all, and it was going to start out at like $21 million or something like this, and they're going to get rid of something like 60 units, and then they were going to, you know, put in like 110 units or something or another. And then the overall cost supposedly was going to end up at $49 million, actually, rather than the 20-something or another million. And I figured out some numbers on that kind of thing at the time, and I called Jim DeMint's office, and I said, you know, I questioned, is anybody thinking over there at all? Because with $49 million, you could give each of these people, well, matter of fact, instead of 110 units that they were going to end up with in the first place, I said, I think it was like you could end up with giving away 640 homes or something of that nature at like $70,000 or $80,000 each. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing here. You know, whatever these people are proposing is probably so absurd that if they were to give these people, you know, a home, they would probably come out cheaper than if we give the government a bunch of money and then have them supposedly redistribute it. Because,
well, Nick, I'll tell you, this is you're right about all of that, and it shows the insidious nature of the state programs. What states essentially do is end up with a commission either for themselves or payoffs to different cronies and friends through these government handouts, so that 100% of the money does not go to the victims. But if 100% did, you're right, they would all have a tremendous windfall from the Katrina hurricane and flood and the Rita hurricane and flooding, because they would be able to not only build a brand new home, but they would probably be able to buy several brand new homes with the money and be far better off as a result of the wealth transfer through the welfare state. And this is welfareism, folks. Make no mistake about it. This is an actual looting and plundering of one person through an inefficient and corrupt government process and giving it to other people for their benefit, as a person would benefit by stealing from one person and taking food stamps. So I appreciate the commentary, Nick. I think you're right about that, and it is just a shocking thing that's going on here. But then again, what does George Bush and the Congress do to nowadays? It doesn't really shock, you know. If the Patriot Act can go through, what really can shock us? That, you know, there's nothing left.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, there's no proof that government would ever not do something totally stupid. And this will probably end up being another proof that they absolutely will do anything to, like you said, plunder us, really.
Yes.
And do everything they can to do things that are stupid.
It's a great point. I appreciate the call this morning. Thanks for calling, Nick, and we'll hope to hear from you again soon. And make us on your regular schedule of calling things to do. So hope you can pick us up on 87.9 down there if you can't get 97.7. Also, check your radio dial, because they're going to do some improvements out towards Anderson this weekend, hopefully, or next weekend, and it only gets stronger from here. So keep checking it out, Nick. All right, thanks for the call. We'll see you soon. All right, well, glad to see we have enlightened people out there like Nick who are able to notice the folly and silliness of our current government arrangement. Most people don't. Most people just think it's, you know, good thing. Of course, they went to public schools. They can't be expected to be able to, you know, do simple analysis of mathematics, or, you know, certainly not, you know, take advantage of understanding costs and benefits. It's pretty difficult for them to do. And so it's pretty easy to pull the wool over their eyes. All part of the plan, as far as I'm concerned. The public school serves a lot of different ends, and one of them is the dumbing down of the sheeple, the people who are very sheepish, I should say. It does a great job of doing that. Well, I want to announce the Christian Exodus conference coming up on October 15th. That's just 15 days away, 2 weeks from tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. There will be the 2005 annual conference of the Christian Exodus at the Hilton Hotel in Greenville. Speakers will be covering a wide range of topics of importance to Christian Exodus, and there will be a question and answer session with a panel of CE's leadership. There will also be demonstrations of CE's feasibility and likelihood of success. They need members to show up, and other people are interested to show up, pay the $40 admission price. Of course, we don't want to leave Christian Exodus administration on the hook for not being able to fill up the seats because gas prices have risen so much. So we're hoping that a lot more local people will be able to show up. The phone number to register for the $40 admission is 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578. It's one project that many people have been talking about because it correctly identifies the project of America's problems, a problem and its solution. Speakers will be Michael Chapman, Dr. John Coben, Mr. Arthur Bringelson, and Corey Burnell, MBA. Should be a great day, an interesting opportunity. Hope you can attend. That phone number, once again, to call the Christian Exodus and sign up for the seminar is 877-727-3578. Okay, well, going back to a couple news stories here before we take the next break. In Covenant News, South Carolina state agencies must pay Planned Parenthood legal costs after it won a federal court case declaring Choose Life tags unconstitutional. Ugh. Columbia, South Carolina. Three state agencies will have to pay Planned Parenthood's legal costs after it won a court case blocking the use of Choose Life license plates approved by the legislature. Last year, the Fourth U.S. Court of Appeals, this is where Billy Wilkins is, by the way, that I heard last night at Bob Jones, and Trexel, or whatever his name was, the other judge that was there, they upheld a federal judge's ruling that the anti-abortion license plates in the legislature approved are unconstitutional because they provided one group to a forum to express its beliefs without giving the opposing view a similar forum. Yes, we need to have license plates that say choose death. Next time the pro-life movement does this, they need to simply advocate both. We don't want just one that says choose life. We want you to be able to put up a license plate, too, that says choose death. Because if we have license plate that say choose life and choose to let people have the right to death, for instance, I guess you could put it that way, then we'll be able to quickly identify people by their license plate, what they think on this, and they both have equal access. And guess what? The pro-death squads, the pro-right to abortion rights people, are not going to put that on their car. They're too embarrassed. Guilt, you know, they feel guilt to do so. And only the pro-life people would end up with license plates anyway. So strategically, we should have, from the very outset, been supporting the pro-death license plates as well as the choose death and choose life license plates. And that way, people like Billy Wilkins and his cronies up at the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals would not be able to strike it down. Oh my, I understand this is the most conservative court. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals is the most conservative appeals court in the nation. If that's the case, we're in a sad state of affairs, to say the least. Billy Wilkins talked about last night how he has to continually rule against things that he truly likes. Well, apparently he had to in that case. I'm not sure that he's really doing justice, though, because he should be upholding the Constitution and the virtues of the Declaration of Independence over against his own popularity and his own ideals of what the law is today, which seems like what he's doing, he and his cronies there. Well, evacuees are offered free abortions. Here's another news story, another abortion talkit here. Babies in the womb face a greater danger than a hurricane. A Little Rock abortion clinic says it has provided 6 free abortions to Hurricane Katrina evacuees and will continue killing children free of charge for those displaced by the storm. Serial killer and notorious murderer Little Rock Family Planning Clinic director Jerry Edwards said he is helping pregnant evacuees by offering free abortions. The baby-murdering scumbag was allowed... This guy minces his words. Well, he's right. This is exactly what the guy is. A baby-murdering scumbag was allowed to broadcast his offer to kill children on the Little Rock television station KTHV Channel 11. So why are you still supporting television, folks? Good question. Oh, that's disgusting. Can you imagine? Oh, you escaped Hurricane Katrina and you got pregnant, huh? Well, we'll give you a free abortion. Come on in. This repulsive. Here's another, well, there's some more stories here. We're going to come to these right when we come back from the break. Believe it or not, we've already reached the time for the last segment here at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Happy to have you listening and hope we're helping you think a little bit deeper about these events and many other events important to Christian thinking people who love liberty this morning on Christian Worldview. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Just a quick reminder for you folks who are interested in attending the TRN get-together, TRN and Friends get-together, I guess. It occurs every Friday afternoon. It starts at about 1:30 or 1:40, depending on when we can all get there, and it's at the China Walk Buffet on Pelham Road now. It's been in other locations in the past, including California Dreaming, as well as in Malden at the Four Seasons restaurant. But now we're up at the Pelham Road exit off of I-85. If you're interested in attending Friday afternoon, we're usually there from about 1:30 till probably around 3, 4, sometimes even later in the afternoon. So come on by if you have a chance, and we'll be happy to visit with you. Every week we seem to have new folks there, and we always enjoy seeing the different folks come on in and again share some of their thinking with us. We realize a lot of people can't make it because it's a work day, obviously, but for those of you who can, feel free to stop on by any time this afternoon. Baby-murdering lesbian feminist dies at 62. That's a lot of adjectives. Baby-murdering lesbian feminist dies at 62. Sherry O'Dell, age 62, organized the National Organization for Women Marches for Abortion Rights, aided opposition to Bork. Sherry O'Dell, a women's rights activist who in 1989 organized what was the largest abortion rights demonstration ever staged in Washington, D.C., died Sunday of lung cancer at her home in Tacoma Park, Maryland. She was 62. As Action Vice President for the National Organization for Women, O'Dell directed the 1989 March of Women for Women's Lives that drew nearly 750,000 demonstrators. O'Dell is survived by her partner of 23 years, Janet Chapin, a sister and a brother. How many feminists like Sherry O'Dell are damned and don't know it because most pastors do not preach about the sin of murder, says this article. Murderers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelation 21:8. It's too late to tell Sherry O'Dell about her damnable consequence, for she knows her terrible fate. And we agree, although we're going to be careful how we handle this, because God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and neither should we. And it should encourage us when we see the truth of what was just said here, the fact that, it should encourage us to witness to these people, to tell these people the truth when we see their fate, or their eternal destiny based on their choices in the lake of fire, because that is precisely what happens to murderers that don't repent. But even people who do murder babies, even people who have had their own babies murdered, can repent. They can believe. They can choose for liberty. The only true libertarian position is the pro-life position, because only that can promote equal individual right to individual right to life for everybody. It cannot be the other position, which says that a third party can come in and help a woman kill another human being that's inconvenient to her. Can't be a libertarian position. We talked about that a lot here, and we're sad to see a person like this who lived and did her evil work, and also sad to see that she went to hell in her sins. It's a shame. Well, at any rate, Bush narrows Supreme Court list, and he might name a feminist to the High Court, says Covenant News. Washington, President Bush, nearing the end of his search for a successor, retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, has whittled his list to a handful of candidates and could announce his decision by week's end. We have been listening to the views and ideas of the members of the Senate, and the President will take those into account as he makes a decision about who should fill that vacancy, White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan said Tuesday. So, George W. Bush, the great conservative of the duped, sheepish Christian right, is now considering, perhaps, naming a feminist to the High Court, who probably is going to be pro-abortion. What do you think? With Sandra Day O'Connor? I'll tell you what, she's a pro-abortion rights person. It's another sad day for America. Won't be surprising to any of us here at Christian Worldview. We haven't had the wool pulled over our eyes about George W. Bush. But you just wait and see. Love to hear what all the neocon talking heads and radio pundits are all yapping about nowadays, as George Bush has totally failed the conservative movement and totally failed the religious right. Continues to give him lip service and just stab him in the back, and yet they just take it like, oh, well, he's our president, he's doing the best he can, he's doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. What a bunch of nonsense. Madison, Wisconsin. Wisconsin bans human cloning. Reprobate governor vows a veto. I like this site's strong language. I don't think without strong language you ever get the point across. I think mincing your words hasn't done anything for the Christian right and for proclaiming the truth. And that's what happens when you get people more concerned about other people's feelings than they are about the truth. I'm not saying we have to say things and hurt people's feelings, folks. I'm just saying that, look, if we want to proclaim the truth, we have to tell it like it is and not mince our words. The fear of man brings a snare. And there has to be a delicate, I hate to use the word balance, but there has to be a way in which we incorporate gracious, seasoned speech with telling people the truth in such a way that people come away understanding undeniably what the facts are, what the truth is from God's perspective, from the Christian worldview perspective. So here, calling this guy a reprobate governor sounds like a right thing to do, because probably what he is. Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle says he'll veto a ban on human cloning. The state legislator approved it yesterday. The measure would prevent both reproductive cloning and therapeutic cloning. Only six other states have outlawed Nazi-like experiments in cloning. Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, and North and South Dakota. That's the only states that have outlawed it so far. And Wisconsin is governor is going to veto it. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. What a shame. What a disaster. Well, here we have a couple other things going on. Prominent judicial watchdog, another of our research staff members have sent this in. Prominent judicial watchdog claims Supreme Court justice in Chicago to mediate Bush indictments. Sherman Skolnick, Skolnick, a longtime Chicago judge buster with a 40-year history of investigating judicial criminality, today confirmed his sources claim U.S. Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens is Chicago looking for a way to prevent a national catastrophe by meeting dilemma caused by the recent grand jury indictments against President Bush and high-level officials. What a shame. And before we come and talk about this some more, we have a last-minute call here at Christian Worldview. We'd like to jump to the phone here. This is Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Well, this is Nick again.
Yes, hello, Nick.
I've been trying to get the station on the 89.9. 87.9. Oh, 87.9.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I'll try that again. But in the process of hitting the other station there, I did learn a new song on one of the other Christian supposed stations, and the song was real easy to pick up because the words went something like na 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 and na 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 na. See, this is almost a tyranny in itself because while people are gone to hell, you know, they're singing songs of that nature, and I just thought I'd throw that in anyhow.
Okay, yeah. Well, that inanity, inane sort of nonsense is one reason I just flipped right past that sort of station. I don't bother listening to it. But
yeah.
Appreciate you at the last minute jumping in and filling us in with the truth about the sad state of affairs in evangelical Christianity today.
Yeah, really.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Nick. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, bye.
All right. All right. At any rate, so this prominent judicial watchdog is doing this work here, and he's talking about the scandals. I guess Skolnick claims a true bill has been voted by the grand jury indicting Bush and others for perjury and obstruction of justice, as well as naming U.S. Supreme Antonin Scalia and William Rehnquist as soon indicated co-conspirators. Not sure what as soon indicted. I'm not sure what that is either. He adds the indictments have been suppressed from the public due to the sensitivity of the issues involved. Maybe that was as unindicted. That's what it is. It's just that they didn't put a space in between the as and the UN. He adds the indictments have been suppressed from the public due to the sensitivity of the issues involved, similar to the way indictments against Richard Nixon were suppressed from Watergate. Could well be. There's nothing that George Bush would do now that would surprise us. He may be just as corrupt or more corrupt than Bill Clinton was and probably walk away unscathed. And all the time he's attending that Methodist church, United Methodist Church, people are thinking he's Christian. Here's another latest post that came up from the research staff here at the Tyranny Response Network. It's actually a news blog. Here's something from the Monday, the 26th. Please don't tell me that FEMA pays $500 per hammer. And this is posted by Sigmund Solaris, the chief executive officer from InterCosmos Media Group. 300% of rack rate and night for hotel rooms at the W. I tried in vain to obtain a hotel room for an employee downtown so that an employee would not have to sleep on the air mattress every night. It turns out that FEMA has rented the 190 available rooms from the W Hotel by paying 300% of the rack rate. Rack rate is the ordinary price for a hotel room without any discounts. This is a standard rack rate that a hotel will quote you when you ask for a room. That would price the rooms at $600 per night per room. That's pretty amazing. Somebody's getting a windfall here. Don't you see that? I mean, let's say you have a flood and a hurricane. All of a sudden, you're the hotel owner. This is a pretty decent deal. Not only are you going to fill up all your rooms, you're going to be able to do so at triple the stated rate, not a discounted rate, triple the stated published rate. What a steal. What a deal for these hotel owners. Wow. Well, that's probably a good way to come close to the end of our show here at Christian Worldview. I will just mention one other thing that one other story that came in from the caller James up in Spartanburg from this Philadelphia Trumpet. They think that the U.S. is military is planning a pullout next year. I mean, how many times have we heard stuff like this? But anyway, U.S. officials are preparing for a phased, large-scale pullout of Iraq by summer of 2006, according to the New York Times. 30,000 of the 138,000 U.S. troops will be leaving by next spring, conditions on the ground permitted. whatever that means. Probably means, no, I'll have to end up staying longer. So here they're talking about pulling out once again. Do we believe it? No, not really. Anyway, but it is an interesting story that was reported here in the Philadelphia Trumpet. Thanks for sending that in, James. Thanks for sending all the information in, and thanks for the callers and the people who email information to the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. Like to get feedback from callers and listeners and love to have entertaining stories that are food for thought and things we need to discuss. This is an alternative news source station, folks. We're not like other stations, if you haven't figured it out. A volunteer effort to promote the truth in an intellectual manner that helps you think better, especially Christians who love liberty. This is your home, and we hope you'll help spread the word about the Tyranny Response Network and the Christian Worldview program. And until Monday morning, we'll be signing off. And until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us at 7:30 Monday morning right here on TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, for another installment of Christian Worldview.